education, leadership, and beyond, surviving and thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and it is show number 255. Good evening to you live here on Facebook, proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voicehead Radio Canada, or wherever you are taking in your podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We're thrilled to be rolling here, show number 255. And August 17th, summer. We're holding on to summer. It was a nice warm day here in the Northeast. But getting excited for school, getting ready for school. And that being said, the sponsor of today's show is Hats. That's right. My latest book, Hats, Heartfelt Acts for Teachers, Students, and Staff. A ton of great ideas and things that you can do for other people, right? It's about other people. It is about serving our school communities and creating great experiences for others. So I want to give a shout out to Jay Billy, Brian McCann, and then a number of participants, a number of people have participated in there. So this is Hats, Heartfelt Acts for Teachers, Students, and Staff. Check it out. It's on Amazon. You want bulk signed copies, you could get them at my website, andrewmurata.com. That is Hats. All right, let's get started here. We are going to meet Deputy Superintendent, Vestal School District, Binghamton, New York area, Cliff Casson. Here in a moment, Cliff is a friend of mine who introduced me to Cliff. And he is on the doorstep of his first superintendency. He's going to become the superintendent in October of the Vestal School District. So we're going to talk about his leadership journey. And I look forward to chatting with him in just a minute. The opening concept, 3 for 10. 3 for 10. I went to a Met game recently. There they are, the New York Mets. I've always been a fan. I've remained a fan since I'm 11 and they won the World Series. But I went to that Met game and I was just thinking about, right, who struck out, who got thrown out. 3 out of 10. If they get a hit 3 out of 10 times, they're a Hall of Famer. They're an all-star. And think about the work that we're doing as educators, right? How much we put pressure on ourselves to be perfect and get everything right. It's okay, right? We don't want to strike out 7 times, but we are going to strike out. We are going to fail. We are going to screw up. So it is okay. As we enter the 23-24 school year, be forgiving of yourself. If you swing and miss, you're going to get another at bat, right? You're going to get another lesson. You're going to get another conversation. So let's be forgiving of ourselves as we enter the school year. And think about those baseball players, right? 3 out of 10, they're an all-star. That means they are getting out 7 out of 10 times. Enough of me chatting. Let's meet Cliff here, and we'll bring him into education, leadership, and beyond. Cliff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And Cliff, I know you helped me pronounce it before. It's Casson, right?
Casson, yes.
There definitely. We go. And Cliff is the Deputy Superintendent, Vestal School District, Binghamton area. And Cliff, just a couple more weeks and you'll be sliding into your first superintendency.
Certainly.
How do you feel kind of here on the eve of this, you know, 1 month away?
I feel like really excited, but at the same rate, very humble. I mean, we have an awesome, awesome school district here at Vestal, New York. And I've worked in the district about 18 years. And This, I can't say it was a goal of mine, but I just worked at leadership all the way through and it came to fruition that I'm the next superintendent, and I just can't wait to get started. I can't wait to get out there and be the leader of the district. We have a great administrative team. We have great teacher support staff here and an awesome community to be backed. And I'm really blessed to be in this position and really looking forward to it.
Your children went there. You live in the community.
Totally.
You've been there almost 20 years. It's fantastic. Yeah. Cliff, you know, there's all entry plans. People talk about this and that.
Oh, yeah.
What are some things you're looking to accomplish as you're going to start taking over as superintendent?
You know, a big focus when we had an extensive interview process. And also when you interview, you're kind of interviewing the district, you know, and I knew the district, but I really wanted to see the stakeholder groups, what they were focused on. They all listened to their questions intently. And then ask them some questions at the end. And a lot of it is that they really looking for a superintendent that is visible and that's out there and it really understands the staff and is concerned with any issues that are happening or, you know, looking, being proactive and where can we move, where, how can we lead the district together? So that's one thing that I'm taking into this superintendency is really having that visionary effect, really working with individuals, working with stakeholder groups, see where we're at, where do we want to take this together and work in that collaborative fashion to make sure that, you know, I always say we have the best district in the area and want to maintain that. And I'm also looking at data from other high achieving school districts and what are they doing and what can we do better in that area? So really have that intensive, that full, you know, array of getting into the superintendency and really with that focus of maintaining what we do, listening to all stakeholders' input and feedback, and then working on together to make sure and improving, make sure instruction for our students is top notch, which it always is, but really focusing on, you know, how can, if there are areas we need to improve upon, let's do it. And our number one focus is our students. And then obviously safety is, we got to make sure we're in a safe school environment. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I just want to be a leader that can inspire others. I do believe that's what leadership is, to inspire, bring that passion and build that trustworthiness. And then also that collaborative approach where, you know what, anyone can feel comfortable coming up and talking to me. The door is always open. You want to come talk, let's talk. Let's figure things out. How can I help you approach? And I'm really excited for that. That's how I was when I was a principal, assistant principal. And in my current job as deputy superintendent, a lot of that work behind the scenes. Yeah, I'm still in my office tonight, you know, it's 7:30 and I worked all day and still here. This is typical. My wife will tell you I'm never home for dinner, but so much work has to get done behind the scenes and I'm willing to do it. But now it'll be a different role where I'm going to be out there in the buildings more in the face. And I really am looking forward to that. It was a big change coming from building level to, you know, managing a $90 million budget and 700 employees and 3,400 students. But wow. I'm really looking forward to being out there, being visible in our community with our schools.
Yeah. And I can sense your excitement here, Cliff. It's great to hear it. You've been there 20 years, but you seem like you're like a kid ready to,
get started. You know?
Yeah. I love to feel that enthusiasm. But Cliff, before that happens, we have a couple more weeks this summer. Mm-hmm. We're holding on here. I know you're very active, doing a lot of outdoor activities.
Right.
But tell me about your summer. What was one thing professionally, other than being named superintendent, that you were happy with, and then certainly personally that you can share about your time this summer?
Certainly. Something that really happened was great. We, myself, and one of our school attorneys, and actually the director of personnel, and I, the three of us wrote a proposal to New York State School Boards Association for their annual conference in Buffalo coming this October. And our proposal to present was accepted. So that was really cool. So we're going to represent Vestal Central School District, and we are presenting on, it's called a personnel agenda, revealing aspects invisible to the Board of Ed. And so thank you. We're really looking forward to it. We're presenting, if you're there, we're presenting on the 27th, October 27th, from 10 to 1:15 p.m. It's 11. It's like an hour and 15 minutes. Something like
okay. Yeah, I was going to say 3.5 hours. That's a long presentation.
It's like an hour and 15 minutes. So basically, we're looking to walk them through how do you develop a Board of Ed agenda and that, you know, because the Board of Ed, they just see it. And how did this happen? And what's a hiring process you have to go through? What salary calculations? How does that handle? So we're going through all that. We're going to have some interactive aspects of it also. So it's not going to be all, you know, just sit there and telling them, but it's going to be, they're going to be interactive approaches. So we're looking forward to that. So that's pretty cool. I've presented previously at a SANES conference, School Administrators mm-hmm. of New York State, and this will be another conference to get to present and represent Vestal. So we were really happy when we were selected for that.
Yeah, for sure. And how about personally, Cliff, right? You're not as much school, not as much happening, you know, with the kids not being there, but what was something that you accomplished this summer that you were proud of personally?
Well, that I've accomplished. Well, I don't know. One good thing was that you don't spend a lot of time with your family as much, extended family. So my wife and her cousins were able to pull together a family vacation up in Lake Placid, New York. Ooh. And that was really, really cool. We had 30-some people come from New Jersey, Florida, you know, Long Island, upstate New York, Pennsylvania. And we rented a really, really nice cabin up there. All 30 of us. It was a huge cabin up in the woods, oh, wow, on the mountain. And we just had a great time. We went to, I had a guided tour from a retired teacher, actually toured us through the Olympic ski jumping center. I don't know if you've ever been there. And then the Miracle on Ice 1980, right, for the hockey team that won the Olympics. And so we were toured that whole area there. We went zip lining up in the mountains. We went hiking. We had bonfires at night. It was just really, really great. And just family, you know, getting caught up, haven't seen people in years. So I think that was a good accomplishment, just to be able to take that time. I took some vacation time, which I rarely do. And it was really, really cool. And it's kind of like our cell phone coverage was kind of spotty. You had to drive down the road, you know. And so it was kind of good not being connected. And I don't know. It was good time.
Good for you. That does sound really nice. And, you know, family and time. And what better time to do it in the summer in a beautiful place like Lake Placid. So right. Good for you.
It was good. Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned leadership a couple times, Cliff, and I could just tell you're very warm. You smile. You're very personal here. But what would you say is your style, your leadership style, right? You're taking on a new role, but you've led in a lot of capacities there. Tell me about your style.
I'm really when I think about it, like a servant leader. I'm here to serve. I really think I want to really make sure that we have the best school district for our students and staff to teach in. And so with that, I try to get to know as many people as I possibly can and get to know them on a level of a personal level and building those trusting relationships. So I do that and then also set high expectations for myself. And I would never ask someone to do something that I wouldn't do. So we set those high expectations. And then how can we achieve those expectations together? So we're always challenging individuals in the appropriate method and then helping us get better. And with the vision of how can we continuous improvement of ourselves in our district. So I really look at leadership in the capacity of how do you inspire others? And that's what I do. It's always, you can come in any day and say, oh, gloom and doom. I mean, my desk is full of stuff I still got to get to. I still have probably 30 emails I got to answer tonight before I go home. And how do I can be down, or I could say, hey, this is awesome. We have a great place here. We have a great school district. And I'm always bringing that level to it. And let's work on those areas together if we need to work on things to change for the better. So my leadership style is just that, trying to inspire others. And when you think of leaders, those great leaders, don't they do that? They really inspire you to be your best. And they find that way. And I know, like, even when you're in a classroom observing teachers, I always start with, even if there's something like, oh boy, I got to really help this teacher in an area, you always start with, hey, here's what you do great. And here's what you're doing really well. This is awesome. And then, oh, wait, by the way, maybe think about this or that, right? You're building that, like, wow, they're really great at what they're doing. And then, hey, we all have areas to improve upon. And here's how we can do it. And here's how I can help you. So I've always looked at it that way, you know, and just making sure I'm very positive and outgoing and trying to build that capacity in people and inspire people to do their best. And then, you know, being reflective is always good. Always make sure I do better the next day than I did the previous day. And then to, you know, have people really understand that approach and try to get that buy-in. And then let's move things forward. So it's kind of in being invisible, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I like it.
Yeah.
Phil, we didn't have this question on here, but I talked a little bit about the Mets. Thanks for letting me switch the show. but what about that concept, Cliff, about, you know, again, failing 7 out of 10 times, dealing with failure, mistakes, right? A baseball player, again, they're an all-star, yep. 3 out of 10. We have to do better than that as educators. But how do you deal with when you do make that mistake or you do strike out?
Yeah. You know, I was just today I was meeting with our business official, and we do internal audits like every 3 months, really look at everything. And there were some issues that we typically don't have. And it's like, oh boy. So I was running the board agenda meeting. We have a board meeting on Tuesday night, and the superintendent's not here, so I fill in with the superintendent. I was running that, so I needed to disclose that to the board president and vice president. And that's something that's atypical of Vestal. So it's like, okay, what's our corrective action plan? We look at it, we acknowledge it, right? So if we make a mistake, and then where's our corrective action plan? How did the mistake happen? What are we doing to make sure it doesn't happen again? And we can ensure that, put those processes in place. So yeah, failure is part of it. We all make mistakes. And I'm always trying to make sure that if something happens, that we create a process that we all know about, and that we can buy in, right? We all have buy-in on this, and we collaborate to make sure this is a process going forward. For instance, we were interviewing a couple of staff members the other day, and what happens, to go through a first round committee, and then a second round committee is myself and the assistant superintendent for instruction. And we, a candidate came to us that wasn't certified. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. So we're interviewing this candidate. So not only we can't hire someone that's not certified, not only did they waste the time of the committee, we wasted time of the candidate. And then we found out, oh my goodness, we can't hire this candidate. So then I went back. I went right back to our personnel department, to our administrators that vet the candidates and go through that process. And so, okay, so where did this break down? How did this happen? And so then, you know, we figure it out together, and then we put those corrective action plans in place. That's how we learn. That's how we grow as an organization. It's how we get better. And anytime you make a mistake, you try to learn from it. Even from this podcast, I'm sure, like, I'll be thinking about it when it's over, like, oh, I should have said whatever, you know? And then you just keep growing from it. So
keep growing and keep rolling. Absolutely. Yeah. Mentioning about hiring people and candidates, this is a huge part of the job, Cliff. You know that. You're attracting candidates to your district. We're trying to get great people in Port Jervis, New York ourselves.
Yeah.
What are some things that you look for in that candidate, obviously being certified, like you said? things that specifically jump out and say, oh, yeah, I like that. Or, oh, that's something I'm looking for. Right. What are some things that you're looking for?
You know, when I'm interviewing with a teacher, I'm looking at definitely that love of teaching and learning. Right. And do they love children? I want to hear that kind of come out in those answers. So when we're asking a lot of different questions, we keep the conversation going. I want to see that come out at some point. Curriculum knowledge, obviously, right? Instructional strategies, pedagogy, you know, what they're doing, what they're bringing to the classroom, that student engagement, and how do they make sure all students have the ability to learn or are focused on their learning. And then, you know, those questioning techniques. I like to hear that. Like, how do you, those, when you're asking those questions, are they open-ended questions? And then formative assessments. I like to hear all that whole process, what they're thinking about when a student struggles in a classroom, what approaches they're going to take. But then really at Vestal here, we focus on teaching for understanding, that inquiry-based learning. And so I really want to see educators that teach in that method or have the understanding of teaching that method of setting up lesson plans, and when they're delivering their lesson, that students are constantly thinking. So more of the teacher is a facilitator and not standing up in front of the classroom, and students are bored with that student engagement. But here's what I always ask. This is my famous question. I say, okay, think about yourself when you were going through school or going through college, and you think of those legendary teachers. Those teachers are really great, and they inspired you and really wanted to do your best. And now think of your career. Where are you in this? Those legendary, are those exceptional, or those, you know, really good teachers? Where are you on that scale? And if you're not at that legendary, how do you get there? What aspects would you have to achieve to get to that legendary status? And I think it really gets people thinking. And what it really does is say, yeah, I want to be that legendary teacher. And I want them to make sure when they come to Vestal that they're going to achieve to be that legendary teacher. So that's our focus, right? Best teachers are our students.
We've all had those people that probably steered us to do what we're doing now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I can name them, you know. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cliff, you mentioned inquiry based and the questioning. We shared about Project Lead the Way. That's something you're an expert in. You brought it to Vestal. That is a again a K through 12 program. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you learn it, Cliff? And you know, again, you brought it to Vestal. Tell us about what Project Lead the Way is and why you believe in it so much.
Okay. Yeah, sir. I mean, it goes back to when I was in high school. I was all math and science. I loved it. And so I went to college for electrical engineering technology and computer technology, dual majored. And I was tutoring people in math and physics, and everyone kept saying, man, you're better than my professor. You know, I wish you were my teacher. And, you know, it really got me thinking, like, oh, my gosh. So I was all set to continue with electrical engineering. And I went up to SUNY Cortland to be a math teacher, and never looked back. And so I also have my master's in special education, because I really was curious on how people learn and think and what can we do differently to help support students. And so when I was teaching math and special education at a high school, local high school here, then Project Lead the Way came about. We were one of the first 13 schools that started Project Lead the Way, began in New York State. And we were the 13th school to sign on to Project Lead the Way through Rochester Institute of Technology. Wow. So, yeah, the principal came to me and said, hey, I know you have this electrical background. We need someone to teach digital electronics. Can you do it? I'm like, oh, my gosh, you can do that. Yeah. So I went up to RIT, did a little training, and I began teaching digital electronics and at a high level. And when I was up at RIT, they asked me to be a master teacher. So that means in the summer, I taught other high school teachers how to teach digital electronics to the curriculum. And I also taught out in San Diego State University one summer.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. All through
Project Lead the Way.
So it's fantastic. It was really, really great. And so I taught at a high level. And then when I became an administrator, I came to Vestal, and Vestal didn't have Project Lead the Way. And so I pitched it to the then assistant superintendent for instruction and principals. And they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're looking for this. This would be great. We'd really be influential here for our students and give our students another pathway. And so I was able to work with Project Lead the Way. We brought it in. That was a number of years ago. We started in the middle school. We began in the middle school and advanced it to the high school. And our students are doing really well. When a couple of my daughters went through a few of those classes and loved it. One of my daughters is a biomedical engineer now. And really, it just builds that capacity in students that, you know, that problem solving, the inquiry base. And it's kind of like, we're also an international baccalaureate school, an IB school. And if you look at Project Lead the Way at IB, they connect with one another, and they kind of work together even. And so with that, you know, that's the whole premise of international baccalaureate courses, that high rigor, but it's that inquiry based learning and teaching for understanding, which we use out of the Harvard School with David Perkins. And with that, you know, Project Lead the Way lends right in hand with that. It's a good mix, and it's really great for our students. They achieve at high levels. And what it does when they're applying for colleges, that Project Lead the Way looks awfully great in your high school transcript.
Yeah.
So it's a benefit our students. So I really am all in on it. We're looking at Project Lead the Way does have a science track, also like almost a medical track. And we're looking at that also as down the road as a possibility here at Vestal.
Awesome. Well, we're going to come up there and see you. I'll get you some black and red Port Jervis. We'll trade for some green there.
Green and gold.
There you go. We'll good for you for doing those great things for kids. If you are watching the show live, you can jump in, leave us a question, comment, tell us hello, where you're watching from. But we'd love to hear from you. Cliff, you're very active. You're out, you're a skier, you're boating, jet skiing. It seems like you really like to move, that energy. Tell me about your outside physical activities and you know, have you always been like that? Is it something that you look to do? Tell me about that.
Always have. Always loved being outside, you know, as a kid with sports and racing dirt bikes and just always being active. And I can't sit still. We had a Board of Ed retreat the other day, and the presenter came in, an outside presenter come in for half of it. And he's looking around, he goes, okay, identify yourself with a TV character and tell me why you identify yourself. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the hardest question because I don't watch TV. I don't know how to watch TV, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, don't pick me because I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. I just always like to be active. And I think of it as just an extension of life. It's a way of life. And I know my wife and I, Debbie, we raised our three children that way, being active and skiing. And we have a hobby farm and they would showing their horses, but all in, did sports. And that's how I am. I've coached for a lot of years. I coached when I was a teacher. I coached travel soccer as an administrator. And I've just, you know, I think what it does, it, you know, you got to be true to your mind in education, but you also got to be true to your body. And I really think, you know, both of them are connected and that you have to take care of both of them. So you exercise your mind by reading and go to conferences and, you know, listen to podcasts and whatnot. We also have exercise your body to have a strong mind. And that's what I try to do. Try to be active. And my wife and I are going to slowly get into pickleball now. That's the next craze. I don't think you've heard of it. But she bought rackets for us. And so we're embarking on that now to be a little more active in that realm.
There used to be a tennis elbow. Now I think they call it pickleball elbow.
It's all good.
Good for you, Cliff. Yeah. I mean, everything's going in the right direction for you. And I know it's not easy, right? You look at someone like you, wow, he's got it all. He's superintendent of a great school, his family, he's been married 27 years.
Yes.
But really, kudos to you. It doesn't happen by accident. And no. You know, give me a couple tricks of the trade. You just mentioned about being active and taking care of your physical health. What are some other things that you do, Cliff, to stay sharp, to sharpen your own saw to be that leader and husband and father that you are?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Sharpen your saw. I think that's Covey, right? From way back in the day. Yeah. Let's see. You know, I really think I subscribe to the harder I work, the more successful I become. I remember I dropped out of college for a while just because I dropped out and I started working construction. And I was working for the owner of his company and he's the one that told me that. He pulled me in and he said, hey, Cliff, you know, I just want to, you know, I got, he was pretty wealthy. And he said, I have all this, but he said, I started from basically nothing. And he said, the harder I worked, the more successful I became. And I thought that was in it because he knew I was, you know, I got to get back to college. It wasn't going to be there long. And that's what he said. And that's what really solidified a lot of who I am. You know, I just like work hard, play hard, have fun, but, you know, have that focus. And so that's what I kind of subscribe to, you know. And so what do I do to stay current? You know, I read the onboard journal that comes out all the time. I'm always trying to read books. And right now I actually have this in my office. I'm reading this Daring Greatly. I don't know if you're Brene Brown, but a lot of people know about her. And it's really, I'm looking at it now as part of, she talks about leading by being vulnerable. And that's something I'm thinking about heading into my superintendency. How can I be more vulnerable? How can I show people, hey, look, I'm real. This is who I am. And I'm going to put that out there. So I'm really looking at that as that's one step I want to take. But, you know, I listen to podcasts. You know, I have a lot of property, 20 acres. I'm always on my tractor or splitting firewood or doing something. So I'm wearing those soundproof earmuffs that are Bluetooth. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of your podcasts. And it's awesome. You know, and I try to attend as many conferences as I can. We have Broom Tioga BOCES has monthly meetings here with leadership meetings. I do that. And then what's great here at Vestal, every week we have a leadership meeting here with the building leaders and the central office leaders. And we create an agenda that everyone has input in. And we just talk about what's coming down the pike. What do we need to know? What do we need to learn more about? Do we want to do a book study? Do we want, you know, what areas do we want to improve upon? What's happening out there? What's happening out nationally and in the state and locally? And what do we need? And then even like what's happening right now in our district and what do we need to get ahead of? What planning do we need? So I think all of that just brings a nice realm of being prepared for leadership and being prepared here for anything that happens. And I do believe in that. You know, if I'm out there thinking ahead and planning, I don't want to be reactive. I want to make sure I'm proactive. And you do that by being well informed. So That's kind of what how I sharpened the saw. But hard work always pays off. And one of my other buddies says hard work, you know, leads to success and that type of thing. So I just look at that.
Amen to that, Cliff. Cliff, my kind of slogan and motto is surviving and thriving, right? The ups and downs of life and the challenges. If I took the word and out of there, surviving blank to thrive, and you could put one word, one action, one behavior, one habit, what word would you put in there? What would you say that word or action is for you to thrive more than just survive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to say probably just going back to my previous comments there, being prepared. Yep. And making sure that you think of all angles. I do that constantly. When I was a principal, I always got to school about 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. And I'd walk up, and not very many people there. I'd walk up to the building and just look at a beautiful build, beautiful high school. And I'd walk up, and as I'm walking up slowly every day, I would say, what if today's a day? What if today's a day, God forbid, we have the active shooter? What if today's a day I have a student that passes out or something? What if today I have a staff member that's a medical issue? What if today's a day a storm comes and hits the building and, you know, destroys a part of the building or something like that? Am I prepared? Am I ready? And I would go through all my processes to make sure that I had everything set, because I'm responsible for, you know, 1,000 students, 100 staff members in that building. Am I prepared for it? So I would say thriving and surviving, being prepared. Yeah.
That's a great answer there, Cliff. And I would challenge you here live on the program. I'd love for you to put that in a blog, right? What if today is the day?
Yeah.
And what kind of a great story about being proactive and being prepared. Yes. I love that. So I will challenge you to maybe put that in a blog, because that was great. Okay. Cliff, something I didn't ask you about that you wanted to talk about or mention?
I just think a little bit about me. I'd like to mention that both my parents were dairy farmers in Pennsylvania. And so I grew up on either one of those dairy farms, helping out, you know, milking the cows, taking care of cows, baling the hay, and taking care
That's hard work.
Right? I think it really made me who I am today. I really do. It built that work ethic. My dad always spoke about having work ethic. And that it made me. And that's why when I met my wife, she was actually from New Jersey, later on Adirondacks. And I'm like, I want to have a farm. And she's like, what? You're going to have a farm? I said, I want to raise our kids on a farm. And so we bought right here in Vessel, Southwest Vessel, we bought 20 acres and have the barn. And, I kind of lost you for a second. Okay.
Now we got you.
All right. My computer screen, I wasn't using my mouse. Yeah. My computer screen.
Yeah.
So we bought that property, and like I said, my daughters had horses, and they went, they did the jumping, and they did barrel racing, and they were Broome County, champions for that, and went up to competed at state level with trailer horses all over.
Wow.
And I just think that farming aspect really is part of our American culture here, and sustainable living and all of that. So I'm kind of into the farming stuff. You know, it's always my job, academics here, and I love it, love school. But whenever a chance, I love being out just on our little 20 acres and just like thinking about our garden and animals and, you know, being out in the environment.
What are you growing there right now? You have active crops right now?
Well, we just hay for animals. So I do, we have equipment that we harvest the hay. And then I have a vegetable garden, you know, for my family. Yeah, we just picked a whole bunch of tomatoes, and I pulled some onions and that type of thing. We pulled the other night. Yeah, so it's good. And garlic, we pulled our garlic yesterday.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's great, you know.
Cliff, this has been great. You mentioned the word inspiring others. You inspired me today listening, and certainly our listening audience. So I'm grateful for that. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Let's get to rapid fire here so you can get to that garden and your beautiful right. family. These are quick questions, Cliff. The first thing that comes to your mind, they're quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's roll.
Here we go. He's prepared. That's,
yes.
Absolutely. Prepared. You just showed the book you read or you're reading right now, so I'll skip that. The last movie you saw?
Mission Impossible.
Favorite dish?
I love sausage and green peppers and onions.
Peppers and onions. Your favorite place to travel outside the Binghamton area?
I go up to Union Springs, Cayuga Lake. We have a little place up there, and it's an awesome little getaway.
Wow, that is a beautiful area.
Yeah.
On January 1st, I will be glad that I fill in the blank.
That I'm Superintendent Vessel Central School District, and I'm making a positive difference.
The best leaders are the best because, fill in the blank.
They inspire others, and they acknowledge others, and they build that capacity in others.
A pet peeve of yours?
Being late, but that's me because sometimes I'm late to things. And I'm like, oh, I can't be late. So it's a pet peeve being late.
Yeah, I hear you. A recent victory of yours?
Well, I went through a rigorous interview for the superintendency job. So I would say that's a great victory. Yeah,
absolutely. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
I feel awesome to be able to spend time with my wife because now we're empty nesters, right? The kids are out of the house. And we do Saturday mornings because I work so much. And Saturday, I don't see her in the evening too often. And so Saturday mornings, we do a nice breakfast together in the house there and just relax and talk and get caught up on everything and then plan like for the rest of the day. But it's always breakfast with my wife. Love it.
Beautiful, beautiful. What is the best takeaway from this show for our guests?
I think it's that leaders have to be proactive and try to inspire others and to work hard and set that example.
One thing you're curious about?
I am curious about the dynamics of different groups of people and how do you reach them? You know, it's always a question. Sometimes if you're at a large committee and you're presenting and you're trying to make sure that you really hit on everything that you want them to know, but also do they feel comfortable asking those questions so you make sure your message is being heard and they understand the message. So that the dynamics of people and trying to make sure that I'm doing the best in that regard.
Yeah. Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell is a fantastic book about that topic there.
Yes, very good. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, yeah. He wrote The Outliers also, right?
He did. Yeah. Good.
It's a good one.
Something about Cliff Casson that people do not know about.
Let's see. I was going to probably the farming aspect, but you know that I just love everything.
You can take a pass. A lot in this program.
Shared a lot. Yeah.
Cliff, you're at Vestal Schools, the best place if someone wanted to ask you about Project Lead the Way or your superintendency route. How can people get in touch with you?
They definitely you can email me. It's crcasson@vestal.k12.ny.us. And phone number is 757, area code 607, 757-2211. Give me a call. Talk to me about it. Love to share any information I have and set you up. I was Project Lead the Way Administrator of the Year last year, actually.
Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
My goodness. We're coming to Vestal, baby.
I know, right? Yeah.
That is awesome.
It was really cool. One of our Project Lead the Way teachers nominated me and went through. So I was able to get on a number of calls with Project Lead the Way individuals, interacting with different schools. We're asking, why Project Lead the Way? Why would we want to be part of this? And I was able to relay my story of being a master teacher. And when I was a teacher at Project Lead the Way and Vestal here, how we brought it to Vestal and how it impacts student learning and that type of thing. So, it's cool.
I'm a long way from that. I'm barely getting the boxes open to get them. Right here, yeah. So you got to start somewhere, though.
It's pretty cool, though, looking inside it. About to see all the cats. Wow, yeah. This is awesome, right?
I'm trying to figure out where it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. That's deep.
Cliff, this was great. Again, feeling very inspired myself. You're a warm, genuine leader, and it's nice to meet people like you.
Thanks.
How about a quote, Cliff? You have something that you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I really, when it was announced that I was going to be the next superintendent, one of my friends is an engineer, a local engineer here, and he's a manager. Like, he's a manager of a lot of different departments, an engineering company. And he said, Cliff, I didn't know what you're going through, principal, deputy superintendent. And he goes, now you're superintendent. He said, so I'm the man in the arena. And I think I commented on one of your blog posts, right?
Yeah.
And it really, I've heard about before, but my buddy Tim, he said, Cliff, take a second, just read it. Just read it as a leader, and you'll really appreciate it. I said, yeah, I've heard about it. And actually, he put it in a frame for me. He said, here.
Wow.
I put this in my office, and he said, I read it to remind me. So I don't know. Andrew, do you mind if I read it here? I know we're probably this is by Theodore Roosevelt, right? Former president.
Love it.
The man in the arena. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. And right? Isn't it awesome? I agree. Wow. And so it was so funny when I was reading it, Tim made me read it slowly, all right, in front of him, all right. So I'm reading it. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I'm on my shelf of books. I have that. Daring Greatly. I remember that. Daring Greatly. And I've had this book for a long time. I've never read it really. So I pulled it out and I started reading it. And this is by Brené Brown. That's kind of how it triggered me to read this. So this is what I'm reading. I just picked it up a couple of weeks ago off my shelf, and I've been reading it. So it's kind of inspiring, and it's awesome, and you were talking about shortcomings and making mistakes. And as a leader, hey, you make the mistakes, but boy, you put it out there. And if you never do, you're never going to move your organization forward. It's all part of it. You make a mistake, get those corrective action plans going, and keep going and being that leader with a smile on your face and pulling your team along, inspiring others, and you'll do great things. And that's my whole goal is becoming superintendent here, is do great things for our district and our community and, keep it rolling.
And he's going to be in the arena as superintendent October. Cliff, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that beautiful, from Teddy Roosevelt there. And I wish you the best.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You did a great job here in the program. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, you stay on the line a second, Cliff. This was Cliff Casson again, Vestal School District, Binghamton, New York. Check him out. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Marotta 21 on Twitter. Certainly check out Vestal Schools and the great work they're doing. Check out HATS, Heartfelt Acts for Teachers, Students, and Staff. And I appreciate you tuning in. Keep rolling, friends. Keep surviving and thriving.